time in military supply.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're talking with John Alexander and Stanton Friedman, both accomplished authors writing about UFOs, with different viewpoints about whether there is or isn't UFO secrecy. You're with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Chris asked you a question, Stan, before we did the break.
Yeah.
About, have we learned anything from alleged recovery of those crashed spaceships? So what do you think?
Well, we've learned several things. Clearly, that the aliens aren't perfect is one, obviously. Let's face it, if you gave Christopher Columbus a nuclear submarine and said, Chris, you've got an unlimited budget, I need three more of these. Could he have built one? Of course not. You gave the smartest people in the country my little cheap wristwatch, digital wristwatch, say 80 years ago, and ask them, you know, to give you a bunch more. They couldn't have done it. Well, they'd have known it was a watch, you know, when there's a battery inside, stuff like that. But they couldn't have analyzed the chip, and even if they could, they couldn't have built another one. But let me give you an example of the kind of thing that we may have learned. I used to do a weekly science commentary for CBC Radio up here in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Covered all kinds of subjects, occasionally including UFOs. And I had just read an article about a new and better permanent magnet material, neodymium boron iron. And the car companies were working on it and stuff. And I used to use this as an example until I saw something that changed my mind about it. You find pieces of wreckage. You send them, Van Bush would know where all the good labs in the country were because he knew that from all the war stuff for the OSRD. The smart guys at classified labs, that is, people with clearances at classified labs, he'd have sent pieces out and said, what is this? And didn't have to tell them where it came from. It was none of their business. It could be from a spy. It could be from Russia. It could be old German, whatever. And the guy comes back and says, you know, I don't know where you got this, but it's a combination of samarium and cobalt. Why would anybody put those together? Not your problem. You send it out to other people. What are the characteristics? Electrical, magnetic, mechanical, nuclear, thermal, whatever. And the guy comes back and says, you know, I don't know what this stuff is or where you got it, but it's got the highest magnetic moment of any material I've ever measured. Make the great permanent magnet. And pretty soon people are making samarium cobalt magnets. That's what they use in the big speakers, you know, the ghetto blasters kind of thing. That was the breakthrough. I was reading an article about the new developments, neodymium iron boron. And at the end of the article, the original work on samarium and cobalt was done at Wright Air Development Center. And I just broke into laughter. That was at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Right, but one thing, Stan, why do we assume that because something is advanced, an advanced development, why assume that maybe we got that information from taking apart a flying saucer? Why can't we do it ourselves?
I'm not, because I think we're so young, technologically speaking. We didn't discover the neutron until 1932, for goodness sakes. That isn't very long ago when you got 4.5 billion years to play with. You know, we're naive, we're young, we're just beginning to, you know, feel our oats a little bit, and there's going to be new technology all over the place, and I mean in all different areas. But there are other things. Wright-Patterson ran wind tunnel tests on round craft in late 1947. There's a picture in my book of Flying Saucers and Science of me standing next to an Apollo 12 command module. It's a round, blunt body.
Yeah, but we're still getting back to the same thing here. You know,
that high aircraft had to have pointy nose and sharp wings.
Stan, please. I think maybe you're belittling our capability of inventing these things. I mean, we have to look, for example, at the technology that we got from the Nazis, about the fact that we hired a lot of those Nazi scientists to help start our space program. John Alexander, having listened to this, we'll give John a fair chance here. John, having listened to this, what do you think about alien technology? Do we have it? Are we reverse engineering it? If we do, that would indicate the presence of some kind of secrecy program?
Well, as I've pointed out in the book, that if we believe all these crashes that have happened, then what ET has is a quality control problem, and it's more. It would have to be more than, you know, just Roswell. It depends on how many you list.
The new Aztec book will be out very shortly.
I'm sorry, the which?
Right on Aztec.
Scott Ramsey and his wife Suzanne have prepared an outstanding book. I've read it, but it's not out yet. Damn it.
Like I said, ET is just not very smart. They can go a gazillion miles and then they fall down or bump into each other.
It's not like that at all. We got aircraft carriers and we got small airplanes. The big vehicles don't crash. The little ones do, occasionally, maybe with a little help from us. We have plenty of airplane crashes.
Actually, B-2s, you know, we've had B-2s and B-1s go down. Once in a while, C-17. So, yeah, big things do crash on occasion.
Rarely, by comparison to the smaller ones.
Yeah, but that's probably a flight hour issue. And again, an awful lot of that goes back to pilot error, etc. You know, Roswell's always, of course, been a problem because of location. If you look at where it is and what's going on and what you'd be doing at that time, yeah, you'd be involved in high-tech kinds of development. You're a decade from going into space, so you're doing enabling technologies, basic science in there and that area.
Not at Roswell. Roswell was a strategic air command base.
It's right down the road to White Sands.
Excuse me, it's right across the field from Wismer. I mean, they're the same general area.
White Sands missile range is there, and I point out to anybody who listen that in 1947, there were three signs that soon Earthlings would be moving out, soon meaning 100 years, which is nothing on a cosmic time scale. One was the B-2 rockets, one was nuclear weapons, and one was high-quality radar, which just started just before the war. The only place in the world in July 1947 where you could study all three of those was southeastern New Mexico. Trinity Site, White Sands Missile Range, they had the radar because... We hate to admit it, the rockets sometimes went south instead of north. Very, very
well, if you remember, so, for a long time, we couldn't get them to go up.
What, you mean that little Vanguard-like thing?
Yeah.
This is long before Vanguard, you understand. Well, years before, 10 years before Vanguard. Yeah, that was, we didn't, our Germans were better than the Russian Germans, except... That's what we said after we finally caught up a little bit.
We hope we got a good selection of scientists. But then that comes to this, too. How come those scientists in Germany could figure all this out and we had problems? Why were they better than us? Because they had a crazed dictator running the country? Did they have alien technology? What's your take,
Stan? No. They had lots of people who were very smart working on rockets before the war. They paid more attention to Goddard. The Russians paid more attention to Goddard, who incidentally wound up doing his last tests in Roswell, of all places. There's a Goddard High School and a Goddard Museum and so forth. They paid more attention to Goddard than the American government did.
Yep.
It's a very sad part of our history that we ignored what he did, and we paid a price for it with the V-2s and so forth.
Well... I'll take another step on that, too, and that has to do, and this is one of my pet peeves at the moment, and that is the American educational system. And if you look at how we went about education versus what was happening in Germany in science,
we're in agreement, John.
Yeah.
We're in agreement.
Right.
I think it's a crying shame, our American educational system, and especially when it comes to technology. And
right.
You know, there's no question. That's why we needed the Germans and the Russians needed the Germans. You know, one of the classic examples of media coverage of unconventional subjects is Goddard wrote a paper in 1919 in which he mentioned barely the possibility of rockets going in space as opposed to in the atmosphere. The New York Times wrote a scathing review that the good doctor doesn't know what any high school student knows, that a rocket won't work in a vacuum because there's nothing to push against.
And before we figure that one out, We have Stanton Friedman. We have John Alexander with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99. And every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
Right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
This is one of those shows, once again, where Chris and I can be the flies on the wall, except we have to snap the whip and crack it a few times with John Alexander and Stanton Friedman talking about scientific discoveries, the ability to get into space, all these advanced technologies. Did we get them from alien visitors going over the craft that may have crashed in Roswell?
Gene, we have a question from one of our Paracast forum members that dovetails nicely with the subject. Blowfish asks, is it plausible that the Nazi scientists may have developed some aspect of anti-gravity technology as suggested by researcher Nick Cook, who was a aerospace investigator for James Defense Weekly for years? He's saying, could that have been brought over in Paperclip? We'll give it to Stan and ask John.
Well, I don't think so. I think that Nick didn't know the difference between pretty drawings made by people trying to sell ideas and pictures of real items. I worked on projects where you'd think we had developed all kinds of stuff. So it said in our proposal, of course, but these were artist concepts. They were not the real world. And let me finish that one comment about Goddard. In 1919, he writes a paper. The New York Times gives him a very hard time for it. In 1969, as we were on the way to the moon in July of 1969, the New York Times published a correction. Goddard was right. Rockets will work in a vacuum.
Better late than never.
1919 to 1969. But I mean, no, I don't think the Germans developed, you know, anti-gravity and time travel. What's another good one? There are a couple of other of these far out notions. And I'm certainly not saying that we have developed all new kinds of new technology because we've recovered crashed saucers. You know, just as Columbus couldn't have built the nuclear submarine. I think we may have learned a lot of ideas. Round, blunt bodies will work at high speed, a number of other thoughts like that. But I think it takes an awful lot of subtlety to figure out technology that's way advanced over where you are. And I don't think we've done that yet. I'm hoping we're trying.
The question that was asked is, I think there's an easy way to determine that that's not true. And that is, we won. You know, if they were that far ahead, we'd probably be speaking German. So
I wouldn't be speaking, John.
Yeah, well, that's another option. A problem associated with it. But,
I agree with you, though. If the Germans did this, like this explanation, what's her name, Jacobson, Annie Jacobson?
Oh, Jesus.
You know, there's several like that, but if they had worked this all out, why didn't they use it during the war? Right. I mean, you develop weapon systems to use them. And you and I are probably fully in agreement about Jacobson.
Oh, absolutely. That's unbelievable.
It got a favorable review in the New York Times. My book didn't get any review in the New York Times.
I was just going to say, that tells you more about the publishing business. And, you know, they had a publicity juggernaut that was going. You'll also know that it fell off the cliff very quickly as, you know, the ridiculousness.
Yeah.
And the bad news is that there's really some very interesting part. I know the Roadrunners, and they thought their book was going to finally come out and tell their story, which deserved to be told. And unfortunately, all the oxygen got sucked up around ridiculousness.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting story in somebody's thesis a few years from now, on a PhD thesis about press coverage and of UFOs, and had some very strong things to say about how inadequate it was.
This is one where George Knapp is kicking his butt because he knew all of these people from the Roadrunners, had been interviewing them for a long time, and you know, it should have been his book.
Yeah, okay. I gotcha. Better him than Annie, that's for sure.
Oh, God.
Well, since we're on the subject of back engineering so-called alien technology, Sentry, one of our forum posters, has a question here for John. I understand that Dr. Alexander met Colonel Corso before his Roswell book was published, but apparently only voiced your concerns over its details after it saw print. Also, considering the book's problems, I'd like to hear why Dr. Alexander helped Colonel Corso in the promotion of the book.
Well, Phil was a friend. We had great concern and helped in promotion. I did, I guess, get on coast to coast. If you listen carefully to my statements, it's not one that's endorsing the content. We did know him before. Again, see, George Knapp was supposed to have been the co-author on the book, and that's how we met him originally. We had gone through various things in detail. I had seen the manuscript, again, before it was printed, and as most people now know, there were really, the manuscript that was submitted was quite different from what was printed. Up front, the whole nonsense about Roswell is not in his original script. Now, it just, as we look at it in detail, the technologies have long, well-established track records. You don't see any big leaps any place along the line.
Well, let me give you an example. He took credit for micro-integrated circuits when, in fact, the guy got a Nobel Prize for work that was done 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
And there are no references in the book that tell you any of the linkages. Where did that come from? It just isn't there. I met Corso, but afterward, not like you beforehand. And every time I checked, there was nothing to back up what he was saying.
Do you think Corso made it all up, Stan, or is this something that was in the editing process that the final book became something far different?
He was a wannabe who wanted to leave a legacy. Let me give you an example. He claimed in a sworn statement to attorney Peter Gersten that he, Corso, had been a member of the National Security Council. That would have been Ike's National Security Council. Well, I checked with the Eisenhower Library. That's the highest level of advice to the president, you understand. And he was not only never a member, but he never attended a meeting. They keep close track on this kind of stuff at the Eisenhower Library. And they sent me a letter to that effect. So I sent a copy of that to Peter Gersten, and he showed it to Corso. Don't you think we ought to take that out? No. That's a strange answer. You're going after the government supposedly to get the full story on your background, and you're going to leave in something that anybody can show is false. So
there were some other things. When we first learned of him, I spent a week in Washington checking out his history. And a lot of it was he was where he said he was, but, it's a big but. For instance, the creation of the Foreign Technology Division did happen. There is an organizational chart, there is a phone book, and the name is not Corso.
Okay, let's get into that and maybe how he embellished his background in our next segment with John Alexander and Stanton Friedman. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste. increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
John Alexander and Stanton Friedman, the great debate over whether there is real UFO secrecy, with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. Now, you were telling us here, John, that the implication I'm receiving from what you're telling me is that Corso deliberately embellished his credentials. It's not an accident, it's not a misprint.
Well, deliberately, you know, implies motive and whatnot. People fluff, okay? I mean, people's bios. For instance, one of the books was going to be The Day After Rome. And if you listen to Bill, you would have thought he was the mayor of Rome. When you go in and read those reports, he did some excellent work, but it was excellent work that a captain would do, not the stuff of a major or lieutenant general.
Now, that's a big question here. Okay, at the end of his life, we see Corso making up tall tales, and maybe some were embellished in the editing of his book, The Day After Roswell. Whatever. Does he have a history of being that kind of guy? Is this the way his history was in the military? Or is it something that he did towards the end of his life to leave, as they say, the legacy? John?
Don't know. I did talk to people who did know him. One of the things that emerges is his relationship with the General Trudeau. And yeah. Trudeau was absolutely legendary in the military, so much so that in the 80s they decided to do an oral history of selected generals, and Trudeau was one of them. And they did do things like Project Horizon, which was really preparing to fight from the moon. I mean, they were thinking that far ahead. And there's no doubt that Trudeau and Corso had a very special relationship that continued for a long period of time. But the problem is when you put the facts together, they just stand up. There were some questions certainly raised. I talked to people who, if remember in the early 90s, he also appeared before a congressional committee. This was on the POW issue.
POW, right.
And there's no doubt, again, this is one where there's certainly some truth that POWs got left behind in a number of areas, and, you know, that's kind of a black mark on our history. But I've talked to some of the ones who worked the Soviet issue, and some of the things he said, you know, they've got severe problems with parts of the testimony.
Well, he called J. Edgar Hoover his good buddy, and Larry Bryant got a copy of Corso's FBI file. And Hoover called him a rat. I mean, that's a bit of a difference of opinion there. You know, I tried to pin him down. He tells this great story about being at Fort Riley, Kansas, and on July 6th, his bowling buddy somehow let him, in one of the clearest violations of security you're ever going to see, gave him access to a crate in which there was some blue fluid and an alien body. And when I asked him, Corso, how do you know it was July 6th? That doesn't fit the chronology. And, well, I said, did you have a diary? I was hoping, you know, or notes. No, I know when I was transferred there. That was March or April. That's no answer to the question. And, John, would you agree that if you had an alien body, it would not be left unguarded, and certainly no guy would let somebody look at it?
I have a fast question when you talk about this before John answers. So how much of this book was embellished in the edited version and added as opposed to what was there before? John?
Well, the whole Roswell thing just doesn't exist in the original manuscript. And yet if you read in the book, it's written first person. You know, people said this happened, and that happened.
You know, like it was there.
There were some things that were omitted because they thought it was too far out to be included. There's a huge debate over the editing process as to how that actually occurred and how much time was involved and that sort of thing.
Now, John, are you talking about the editing process or the co-writing process?
Well, I'm not sure how to put this politely, but Phil was not computer literate, and things like grammar and whatnot are sometimes a little different than what we might anticipate. So the point was he needed a co-author. There's no doubt about that. So the co-author, of course, had to do quite a bit of the writing.
And editing on top of it, yes.
Yeah, well,
creating a whole scenario out of thin air, that doesn't sound like a co-author to me. It sounds like somebody taking liberties, to be polite as well.
You'll have to ask Bill about that. But
To Bill Burns, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
He was the co-author on it, but if you look at the manuscript, and it is available on the Internet now, you won't find any of those references. How it got in, don't know. The debate over editing is that Phil had said they had 24 hours to go through the entire book. Other people who've worked with Burns have said, no, he's totally meticulous, that if there are controversies, it doesn't go in. So it's just another of the conundrums that abound anytime you get around Corso.
It's interesting, incidentally, that John and I both, he mentions the man who was actually head of the Foreign Technology Division under Trudeau. It was a two-man unit. I got a copy of the roster of that group.
Right.
And you mentioned the guy's name, Stengler, was it? Something like
Stengler.
That.
Colonel Stengler.
Yeah, I found his wife, and he was in the hospital at the time, and he never came out. I wanted to talk to him, but impossible, unfortunately. So John and I both looked at some of the same problems. And incidentally, one of the difficulties there is many, many people that I've talked to thought really that Phil was talking about the Air Force Foreign Technology Division at Wright-Patterson. And I had a lot of dealings with them, and there were a bunch of engineers and scientists there. I had a contract, and I went back there every month or so for over a year. And that was an outstanding group of people. But yeah, Corso
was not a scientist. Not it at all.
No, it isn't. But many people thought that that's what they were talking about. You know, it was a small outfit. And there's another question, too. Let's suppose for a minute, John, that Roswell had happened in July 1947. You're going to tell me that the Air Force would have dug a hole in the ground, put it all in, and nothing was done to industry until Phil comes along after 1960?
Right.
Does that make any sense? It makes no sense at all.
Well, the book implies here that he was Trudeau's right-hand man, his bag man. He finds this junk in a file cabinet, and then he takes it out to private industry. Here it is. Here's night goggles and all that stuff.
And I say that makes no sense at all. Having worked
well,
in industry.
Yeah, that's true. Now, actually, when you get into night vision, that's a topic that I know quite a bit about. And I knew the guy who literally built Night Vision Lab. And I talked to him. And he knows that I do weird stuff. And we talked to him specifically about it. And just none of that makes any sense whatsoever. We know the history of what happened. One of the other things, for instance, is there's a story in there about him going down with a $5 million check in his pocket. And here's a non-scientist, and if you agree with these guys, you know, give them the check. Anybody knows that is not how the system works. And interestingly, there is a $5 million bump that comes in, and there's a name of the person who provided that, and it is not Corso.
So are we seeing here that things happen or may have happened? Corso decided that he would just change the name. So if John, whoever, does something, it became Philip. And Philip did it instead. He put himself in the place of the people who may have done some things and maybe made up the rest. What an interesting story. John Alexander and Stanton Friedman, we're talking about UFO secrecy. Does it exist or not? And all the ramifications, there's so many. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget,
crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the greatest depression is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
We're back, and it won't stop, with John Alexander and Stanton Friedman. So in the end, as we speak on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, before we get on to other subjects, we'll just take the day after Roswell and stick it not in the great basket, but in the science fiction basket? What?
Okay, yeah, I'll go along with that. Not in the gray basket.
We concur.
That's refreshing. Chris?
Well, here's one.
It must be true. John and I agree, it must be true.
It makes sense to me. Here's another question by Sentry, who asked the Corso question, and he says that, and I'm going to help him here, his question isn't worded well, but let's assume that the U.S. government has passively allowed some of their secret aerial projects and operations to be mistaken for UFOs. Do we have any documented examples, John, of UFOs being used as some sort of disinformation cover? Now, I remember a year and a half ago, there was an article about the SR-71 Blackbird. Some of those sightings were used to blankly dismiss most UFO sightings. Yeah. Do we have, and are you aware of any examples of, let's say, stealth when it was operational but undisclosed, for instance, the F-117 or the B-2? Do we have any examples of this being policy?
Oh, absolutely, and that was released in the 1990s. It had more to do with the U-2s, where you had pilots who were reporting they're seeing things flying above them, and they knew nobody could fly that high. Well, yes, they could, and that it was a UFO was part of the overt cover story.
Well, there's another side to that. And John is correct in what he just said. A guy named Haynes wrote, a CIA historian wrote, saying that the military was delighted that people were reporting UFOs, and that was accountable for most of the sightings once the U-2 was flying and so forth. People, Dr. Bruce McAbee, among others, have looked at the number of sightings. They did not increase when these were flying. I'm in total agreement that any pilot seeing a plane going at 70,000 feet back in time a bit would have said, hey, we don't have anything that flies like that. However, none of those U-2s could make right-angle turns. None of them could land out in the middle of nowhere and take off from out in the middle of nowhere. None of them were flying around our military airplanes. Think of the RB-47 case. So it was a made-up story by Haynes in terms of proportion. Were there a lot of such cases? No.
No, we agree that UFOs are real and do things that, you know, defy explanation. The question, though, was there an example of the government using UFOs for, any operation? And the answer there was yes. And, a piece of it had to do with, like I said, U-2s and some other unusual aircraft. I always tell people, don't be surprised if strange things fly in the desert. Always have. That doesn't make them E.T. But
right.
That also does not explain the kinds of things that you were just describing, because those events happen as well.
Yeah. And look at the physical trace cases out in the middle of nowhere, all over the place, 80 countries, Ted Phillips data covers, or maybe it's 85 now, I don't know, it keeps changing, where people see these things come down out in the middle of nowhere and take off from there, physical changes left behind, but be sure as we have helicopters that can do that, but not can go silently and make abrupt turns and very high speeds. So the combination of behavior, in other words, behaviors, rules out our sort. Because, again, if we had this 17 years ago, where is it on the battlefield? We could use all the help we can get.
Well, that's been one of my key arguments, and particularly about, do we have the huge triangles that are moving things. Reality is that logistics is the long pole in the tent. Anything that could fly that's big that can move stuff, that would have been made known, and we need it sorely in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Logistics.
Well, here's a related question for Stan. It has to do with the Cash Lundrum case, and this comes from our poster from Calgary, Ufology, who's a fairly long-time poster at the forum. Do you think the Cash Lundrum incident, Stan, may have involved the testing of a secret craft that could have possibly used one of your nuclear rocket engines?
Well, more likely could have used one of our nuclear airplane engines. I worked on nuclear airplanes back in the late 50s. And that was a thought, but when you realize that the thing took off out over the Gulf, it seems unlikely. My first thought when I heard about that case was, well, gee whiz, did we revive the ANP program? That was a big program. Most people have never heard of it, but in 1958, for example, we spent at General Electric Aircraft Nuclear Propulsion Department, we spent $100 million, employed 3,500 people, of whom 1,100 were engineers and scientists. It wasn't six professors and 20 grad students. It was a major effort. We never did fly a nuclear-powered airplane, as far as I know. We flew a small reactor on board an airplane to do radiation shielding experiments, which is quite another matter. But that was my first thought, was, gee, maybe the secret program went on. But I came away after talking with John Schussler about that in some detail and meeting the people and so forth. It didn't seem appropriate to me to reach that conclusion from what I knew about our program.
Well, it goes beyond that. The timing is one that just kind of eliminates most of that.
Yeah. You know what, folks? Not everybody who listens to the Paracast knows the ins and outs and inner details of all these cases. Stan or John, would either of you take a minute or so to kind of summarize what it's all about?
You mean that case?
Yes.
The Cash Lundrum case?
Cash Lundrum, yes.
Okay, you have two women and one of them's grandson, and they're driving out in Texas, sort of in the middle of nowhere. There's a lot of nowhere in Texas. And they
but
see
near a major
thing.
Metropolitan area.
Well, near, but you know what I mean. Yeah. I wasn't in the city.
Yeah.
And there's this thing that's there, and they're very curious about it. They kind of, one gets out of the car, one stays sort of in the car, and they felt heat. It was a crazy thing, and the crazy thing here is that along come a bunch of black helicopters.
It's dozens of Chinooks. I mean, more Chinooks than were anywhere near the location that this event occurred.
And so the crazy part is that the people came down with what would have to be described as radiation sickness. Hair coming out, burns, a bunch of stuff. I mean, real medical problems. We're not talking about, oh, my arm was a little warm. We're talking about the two women and the boy having serious medical problems. And John Schussler, who was for some time the international director of the Mutual UFO Network and is an aerospace engineer, worked for McDonnell Douglas for decades, literally, down in the Houston area, near where this was, St. Louis and then Houston, did a great deal of investigation and kind of pinned down whose helicopters are these. And there was even a legal action brought against the government, which didn't go far, about the damage done to the people. So it's a classic case, partly because John did a good job of writing it up. No exaggeration, no made-up stories. And we're still puzzled by it, because I don't know what the bottom line is on that, but I don't think it was one of ours.
Well, I'm sure of that.
Okay, that's obviously the big question here. Okay, that's one of the big questions here, and one we'll have to continue to explore as we move to the next segment of the PowerCast, and that is, is there any possibility at all that this was an accident involving our attempts to test some kind of aircraft with nuclear propulsion and it went wrong? John, you say that's not possible.
Are we going to break or are we going to answer?
Why don't you just start answering? We have about a minute.
Okay. The answer is not absolutely not ours. When you say not near, it's only about 40 miles outside of Houston. You don't test engines,
right,
and, you know, word craft. You know, we got a place out here, you know, where you do that sort of stuff. So that's highly unlikely. One of the aspects of this is that the story that the people told about the radiation is exactly consistent. Corey, the little boy, did not get much. He saw something, got scared, jumped in the back seat. One woman stood behind the door. She did not get as much radiation. The other got whole body radiation.
Yeah.
From what we know about the onset and severity of symptoms, they were at LD-100, meaning absolutely should have died. And yet
okay. All right. That's a very important point, and that will be the breaking point. We have John Alexander, and we have Stanton Friedman with Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast. Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.